A recent survey published by the American College of Healthcare Executives found that workforce and personnel issues remain a top concern for healthcare leaders for the third year in a row. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson, and this is Just Healthcare Daily. It's Tuesday, March 12th. Thanks so much for joining us. On today's episode, we listen to the second half of my conversation with Selena Cunanan, Chief Diversity, Equity, and Belonging Officer at University Hospitals in Cleveland, Ohio. As part of a long-standing effort to build a talent pipeline, her health system operates internship and educational programs to engage young people in the community and encourage them to pursue careers in healthcare. If you missed the first part of our discussion, which aired last Monday, it's available at kaufmanhall.com or your favorite podcast platform. As a note to our listeners, you'll hear Selena use the acronym URIM a few times in our chat. That means underrepresented in medicine, which applies to individuals whose racial and ethnic populations are underrepresented in the medical profession relative to their numbers in the general population. Now, at the end of our first conversation, Selena and I discussed how University Hospitals is partnering with the technology company WorkUp Health to continually engage young people through an app that provides more information about educational opportunities at the system, as well as healthcare-related TikTok videos to give students a glimpse into the inner workings of a hospital. She tells me that amid ongoing staffing issues industry-wide, that engaging this way with young people is a smart investment.
If we really want to quell the workforce shortages that all healthcare organizations have, we have to tap into our most precious resource, which is our youth, and especially the youth here in Cleveland, and making sure that we look at it for us as a way to diversify the pipeline as well, and getting kids who might not otherwise consider careers in medicine or might have those opportunities, the opportunity to really just take a peek in on your phone about, that looks kind of cool, right? Like, that looks kind of cool. I might want to do that. And then we also push out any of our opportunities, such as our applications for health scholars are out, our Future Nurses Academy, those scholarships are out. We have an opportunity for kids to be on a Rainbow Advisory Board for our Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital. We push that out on the app. And so we're seeing some good response from people who are utilizing that. We know that there's a lot of great work being done in the region around workforce shortages and encouraging these things in the healthcare field. And so how do we partner with the regional work and amplify the efforts of everyone? And this technology portion that we're working on with WorkUp is a great opportunity for us, like as is our contribution into the space to say, we think everyone should have access to this.
Workforce pipeline issues are a pressing problem, and these programs hope to address that. But it takes a lot of time and investment to ensure that these programs pay off, and many hospitals and health systems are feeling acute financial pressures today. So how do you make the case to your fellow hospital leaders that this is a worthwhile investment, that they will see an ROI, just not immediately?
Yeah. You know, I feel very lucky to be at my organization because we have an incredibly supportive leadership, starting with our CEO, Dr. Cliff Magarian, who really strongly believes in this program and all the work that that our office does. In fact, you know, last year we did a white coat ceremony in which we coded these kids at the beginning of their time with us. And Dr. Magarian was front and center coding these kids, as were many of our physician colleagues who, you know, this is a replication of the white coat ceremony that medical students get when they enter into medical school. And this is our way of kind of giving them a coat that they'll need when they go into their clinical spaces and they shadow people. It's a way for us to welcome them into the healthcare community and to UH. There's huge support from every level in the organization around this. Everyone's really excited about this. Because they know the challenges that they're facing. So we look at this as a long-term investment strategy in workforce development. You know, if we train these kids and give them training to learn how to be a phlebotomist and they can come back with us and be hired, you know, in their summers, like that's a win for their organization, right? And we want to have this continuous relationship with these kids to make sure that we're their home base and that they can always come home to us or contact us if they need something, right, along their journey. I think it's not been a really hard convincing people. I think there's a lot of people who know that this is part of the strategies to address workforce shortages, and it has to be part of any healthcare system that's looking at healthcare shortages, which if you find me a healthcare organization that doesn't have healthcare shortages, I really want to talk to them about what their secret sauce is. But everyone else, I think this is one of the strategies that maybe is often overlooked at some organizations. But what we're saying is we're doubling down and we're investing in this. A lot of our work, this has been a part of our operational budget for the last 8 years. This past year, we've been lucky enough to apply for grant funding. It was the first time we had ever done so. And we got a significant grant to help support the program, our program Health Scholars, as well as our Future Nurses Academy for the next 2 years, which was great because, you know, all healthcare organizations are really being very diligent about their finances, in which we were all asked to make sure that we're cutting things out of our budgets that or transitioning them into other funding sources. And so we've been really happy that we've been able to transition that. We know that there's a lot of probably foundations or donors out there that want to support the work. We are trying to also make sure that we have the evidence and the research behind this. So we are planning, you know, we're trying to gather the information on our scholars, learn from them about where they are now. It's a long haul for some of these kids, and especially the first cohorts that were really focused on medical school. That first cohort is now juniors in college, and we're still in contact with them. We're trying to make sure that we're following them and offering them support, but also seeing where they are. Like, where are you on your journey? Are you still thinking about healthcare? Are you still thinking about medical school? Most of them say that they are. It's a very long return on investment for the organization, but I think that it's necessary if we're really going to get people in the healthcare field. I think it's a smart investment for organizations to consider that if they don't already have programs like this.
The underlying goal of these educational programs is that these students will return to the community and work for university hospitals, which of course does not exist in a vacuum. So I'm curious what you see as the possible ripple effects within the communities as the health system itself invests in these programs.
Yeah, you know, I've practiced my entire midwifery career here in Cleveland, and really we have, Cleveland is one of the top 10 Black cities in America. We also are one of the most redlined cities in America. So we have a lot of disparities that have existed in this city, and you can look at any city, and this is probably the true to them too, is that we're dealing with a lot of health inequities, especially for our communities of color. And we know that research is showing that when there's racial congruence between communities and their healthcare providers, that they have better outcomes. They're more likely to engage with healthcare. They're more likely to comply with recommendations. You know, there was a study that was recently published that showed that in counties where there was even one Black physician, that the life expectancy for Black people and all people in that county was greater. And so I think as we get more research and publications out there showing the effects of racially congruent care or people that come from your community, I think it's really important that we don't kind of gloss over that that's not really real. I think it is. And I think we see that in the day-to-day interactions. Or one of the most important questions I've gotten asked is like, who can I go see since I've been in this role, who can I see as a Black man that will not trigger me, that will not dismiss my concerns, that will actually listen to me? And I think there's a lot of times better trust built with people who share lived experiences. And so I think that is something that we can't necessarily overlook and say that it's not important. We know that the programs that we're doing that are focused, especially on looking at providing opportunities for URIM students, they are more likely to come back here. Medical students are more likely to search for residencies in areas in where they went to school. So we're really trying to focus our efforts on, you know, starting kids off from here. Maybe they go to college outside of Cleveland. Maybe they don't. Maybe they go to medical school outside of Ohio. Maybe they don't. But we want them to be able to come back here and practice here. We want to keep our young kids, our youth, right? We want to keep our young people. We want our city to continue to grow. Cleveland's a great place to live. And I'm saying this as somebody who's not from here, and I can't imagine living anyplace else now. But we love it. And I think it's one of those things that it, the more opportunities and strings we can connect kids to that tie them to us, that tie them to home, we're hoping that that will speak to them, that they say that that's a safe place I can go to. I know, as especially as a URIM resident or a URIM physician now, that it's a space that has a good infrastructure for support. And I want to help kids in the Health Scholars Program just like I was helped. And so that's what we really want to see.
And how do you see this overall benefiting the health system?
We know that organizations, whether it's healthcare, whether it's not, business, right, or technology, when you have people of different backgrounds with different viewpoints, there's better innovation that happens from those teams. There is better productivity. And on those teams, you know, there's a lot to be said for there's better marketing strategies that happen with your target audiences, because you have people from different demographics, whether it's age, race, gender, sexual identity. We take care of all people in healthcare. We take care of all people in this community as university hospitals. It only benefits us to have a rich array of providers that can relate to the patients that we care for, that come from the communities that we are caring for patients in, where, you know, maybe it's a regional hospital, maybe it's in the Amish population, maybe it's in the Hispanic population on the west side here, you know, whatever it is, we know that it'll only make our organization better and stronger if we have providers that reflect the people that we care for. And so we look at that throughout all levels of the organization in ways in which we can diversify the workforce, not just the clinical workforce, the business side of things as well. And so we know that there's a need for diversification on all levels of the organization. And I'm not saying we are perfect and we're there. We are not. And as I always kind of talk about the work in DEI, it's not a destination. It's always a journey. It's about continuous process improvement, about what we can always make better. How do we make everyone feel like they belong here at our organization, which is whether they're a caregiver, a clinical or non-clinical caregiver, or whether they're a community member or a patient or a family member.
With all of this in mind, hospital leaders, you know, the entire C-suite, have a lot that they need to take into account when it comes to managing and operating a hospital or health system. So what should your fellow leaders take away from our conversation today?
Yeah, I guess don't underestimate youth strategy programs, right? I think so oftentimes we have to focus on direct hires because we don't have enough people. But like, you know, take nursing, for example. We get somebody who's a senior this year in our program, right? There's a senior in high school that gets connected with future nurses, has an incredible time in our program, and then goes to nursing school locally, finishes their LPN in 2 years, right? Comes to work for us while they go on to continue to work for their BSN. I mean, that's a quicker turnaround, right? Like, you know, that could be 2 years that we're hiring this person. And so I think we can't underestimate those connections that we have with community and the things that listening to what community members need and how hospitals and healthcare organizations respond to it. You know, my motto is, you know, we have Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital, world-renowned children's hospital under the UH umbrella. And we talk about, you know, we want kids to be able to come to us when they're sick. We want kids, families to come to bring their kids to us when to keep them well. You know, my thought is we want you also to bring your kids to us if they want to be in healthcare, if they want a career in healthcare, you know, that home base, right? Again, you know, they go to their pediatrician with all their concerns around their health. And, you know, why wouldn't that be a natural extension to say, you know, my kid is interested, you know, as a, you know, 15-year-old is really interested in being a pediatrician one day or being a surgeon one day. Is there anything you can do to help them understand what that's like or what that job entails? You know, so that's kind of what we're trying to do with all of these strategies, to give people the opportunities to kind of create those pathways for our kids. And I think healthcare organizations, if they're smart and they're forward thinkers, are going to think about ways in which they can increase those opportunities in their healthcare system to create pathways for kids to be engaged.
That was Selena Cunanan, Chief Diversity, Equity, and Belonging Officer at University Hospitals. She joined me to talk about how diversifying University Hospitals' talent pipeline, and by extension its workforce, benefits both the system and the community as a whole. If you missed listening to the first part of our discussion, which aired last Monday, it's available on kaufmanhall.com or your favorite podcast platform. This has been Just Healthcare Daily from Kaufman Hall. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Thank you so much for listening. If you like the show, please leave us a rating or a review. It helps other listeners find the podcast. We'll be back with healthcare business and policy news updates tomorrow, as always, in 10 minutes or less. In the meantime, you can check out more insights on healthcare business and policy news at justhealthcare.com. You can also get these insights emailed directly to your inbox when you subscribe to our newsletter, The Gist Weekly.